You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In an effort to address the rising cost of living, the government has announced it will increase benefits to families on the 1st of April. However, the Fairer Futures Coalition has released new data that indicates these increases aren't enough and people will remain locked in poverty. This morning, I spoke to Brooke Powell-Stanley from Fairer Futures about income inequality and what needs to be done.
So Fairer Futures is a coalition of organisations that came together in 2020, at the end of 2020, that was kind of founded by AAAP Action Station and Child Poverty Action Group. So we penned an open letter to the government to ask them to increase benefits to livable levels before Christmas back then, and we were able to get over 70 other organisations who supported that letter. There are organisations that wanted to carry on that work. And yeah, that's kind of what the Fairer Futures Coalition is. It's AAAP along with other organisations on the ground who are kind of campaigning towards livable incomes. There are other demands as well around wiping MSD debt, individualising support, removing sanctions and obligations at MSD, increasing disability support.
You've analysed the government's welfare plan and found it comes up short in targeting inequality. What approach did you take to come up with these figures?
So we commissioned a researcher to look at 12 families and taking into account COVID, they looked at whether people were in public housing or private rentals, and based on what the government was doing in terms of increasing core benefit levels, they were taking into account, essential bills, so food, transport, you know, and then also she was looking at core participation activities as well. So things to do with, you know, being able to go on holiday, going out for dinner, going to the movies, being involved in sports, those types of things. So they came up with two figures, and we're kind of pushing for the more ambitious figure, which is full participation in society.
Jacinda Ardern has promised to eradicate child poverty while her Labor government is in power. How realistic is this under current policy?
I don't think she's here to eradicate poverty, or the Labor government is here to eradicate poverty. I think that's quite evident in the fact that she's the Child Poverty Reduction Minister. They're looking to reduce poverty, I think, but not actually fully eliminate it. I think that COVID has shown that the government can respond quite quickly, almost overnight, actually, in terms of providing support to specific communities in Aotearoa. I mean, like people who lost their jobs due to COVID, wage subsidies, like workers and businesses. They were quite generous in providing that support. Which tells us that actually, if they have the political will to do these things, they can also have it to do other things. I think that they're just not prioritising eliminating poverty. And I mean, even the current increases in benefits that were announced in the budget last year, $50 over 2 years, I mean, must be nice to live on a politician's salary and not even acknowledge that there's a cost of living crisis, or be so disconnected from actually what's going on in the communities that you purport to serve. If you can't know, if you think that $50 an increase in benefits over 2 years is adequate.
And these benefit increases, even when compared to inflation, it's just kind of keeping up with inflation and a rising cost of living as well. So what can the government look to do to actually combat this?
I mean, they could do a lot of things, actually. They could increase benefits to livable levels. They can provide, they can enact a high trust model at MSD. They can remove obligations and sanctions. Removing obligations and sanctions and wiping debt from MSD, individualising support, that's not going to cost them anything. If they wanted to help alleviate some of the stresses that people and families are experiencing in the community at this time, then these are really simple things that they can do. But it kind of shows and their inaction that they're not willing to do these things, which makes us question, well, what is it that we really prioritise? And I mean, is the Labor government really about it?
What groups have been hit hardest by poverty and income inequality? How can we target these groups?
I think people living on benefits and in low paid work, homeless people, homeless rangatahi, Māori and Pacific communities are often disproportionately impacted, our migrant communities, our disability, our communities who live with disabilities. These are kind of the communities that we continue to kind of force into specific living conditions in order to survive. what's so hard about giving people what they need in order to live thriving lives? Like, what's the big deal?
Would you argue that this is kind of just beyond politics and this is just what people deserve as people?
Exactly. I mean, I don't think the world is the political system is a system that we live in, but beyond that, we're talking about our humanity here. We're humans before we're anything else. And I think what we're saying is that if you're here, the basis of your existence is that you should have everything in order to live a good and thriving life. That shouldn't be determined by other people once you get here. The bare minimum should be that if you exist, then livable incomes are our birthrights, actually. And so we need a new frame of reference for each other, for ourselves and each other, actually.
Could you tell us a bit more about the policy recommendations laid out by Fairer Futures?
Yeah, wiping debt to MSD, individualising support, so that's overhauling relationship status rules. So currently, if you're on a benefit and you're in a relationship, they means test your partner. If your partner's making the minimum wage, then you're not likely to be eligible for a benefit. So we're saying that everybody needs income support irrespective of their relationship status, removing obligations and sanctions from MSD space because research shows that those things don't actually work and they further exacerbate punitive measures in communities that are already stressed to the max, increasing the disability allowance, and there are a few others.
With income inequality persisting, how do you feel about other parties looking to further cut social services and reduce taxes?
I don't know how people think that. I think like communities that have always had it rough or kind of unseen by wider society, they're quite resilient and tolerant of what happens and highly adaptable. They can kind of roll and navigate things in ways that the rest of us can't because they kind of have to if you're living like day-to-day in terms of being able to survive. Because they're so resilient and strong, I think people are just like, oh, yeah, they can just handle. You know what I mean? But it's kind of coming to a tipping point. You can't really treat people in this way for so long and not expect there to be some kind of response. And I think all of these things coming to a head, we need to get real about those things. It's not even about politics. It's just you can't treat people like this. It's really straightforward.
That was Brooke Powell-Stanley from Fairer Futures speaking to me about income inequality in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.